It's Tuned to Yesterday, delivering programs from the golden age of radio. Welcome, I'm your host Mark Levonier, with you for an hour of sitcoms. Later on, we'll hear a singer from the Jack Benny program, Dennis Day, in his own show. But right now, another Jack Benny cast member, Mel Blanc, in the premiere broadcast of The Mel Blanc Show. Better known as Mel Blanc's Fix-It Shop, this episode from September 3rd, 1946, on CBS.
From Hollywood, Colgate Tooth Powder, for a breath that's sweet and teeth that sparkle, presents The Mel Blanc Show. Colgate Tooth Powder, for a breath that's sweet and teeth that sparkle, brings you The Mel Blanc Show with Mary Jane Croft, Earl Ross, Bee Benaderet, Joe Kern, Zookie, and Victor Miller and his orchestra. Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard Mel Blanc as the happy postman.
Hello, Mrs. Burns. Here's your mail. Well, goodbye, Mrs. Burns. Remember, keep smiling.
You've heard him as the famous train caller.
Train leaving on track 5 for Anaheim, Azusa, and Cucamonga.
You've heard him as Pedro.
Pardon me for talking in your face, Senorita. 30 days Hacienda, April, June, and sombrero, I think.
You've heard him as the lovable character, Zookie.
Well, in the fixer shop, I'm the president, I'm the vice president, I'm the treasurer. I sweep out the place.
You've heard him as the famous Warner Brothers cartoon character, Bugs Bunny.
What's up, Doc?
Now hear him as the star in his own show.
Hello, Mel Blanc's Fix-It Shop. You bend it, we mend it.
Say, do you have a broken chair in your house? A broken table in your house? Anything that's housebroken? Well, don't try to fix it yourself. Don't ruin it. Bring it to Mel Blanc. Let him do it. Right now in the Fix-It Shop, Mel's uncle is talking to our hero's general assistant, Zookie.
Zookie, come here, will you?
Well, I can't. I'm too busy. Here I am.
What time is it, Zookie?
Well, according to my work clock, I can't tell you.
Why can't you tell me?
Well, because by the time I tell you what time it is, it's some other time.
Come on, Zookie. Here come Mel and Betty. Let's get out of here.
Look, darling, don't you see? The Fix-It Shop will never amount to a thing as long as you let your Uncle Rupert and Zookie live with you.
Well, gosh, honey, I have to let them stay here.
Well, why can't that uncle of yours go to work?
Well, he's still weak from his overseas shots.
Overseas shots?
Yeah, he got him in 1917. He spent 6 months in Pierre's Bar and Grill in Paris, 20 shots a night.
That I can almost believe.
Oh, that's right. The last time he saw Paris, he didn't see it so good.
Oh, Mel, why don't you try to be serious about business?
Well, I try.
And another thing, do you realize that we have been engaged now for 5 years?
Gosh, our wooden anniversary.
Don't you think we might begin toying with the idea of getting married?
Oh, now, honey, you know I've been working on our nest egg.
Well, we're both getting old, the egg and I.
Well, yeah, but...
Mel Blanc, now this is what I'm talking about. Now, look. Look at this birthday card my father got from the Eternal Life Insurance Company this morning. Now, why don't you do something like that? Why don't you try to build goodwill?
Okay. I'll send a birthday card to everybody in town who has a birthday this month.
Oh, Mel, that's wonderful.
And another thing, I'm going to talk to Uncle Rupert and put him straight.
Oh, darling, it's so good to hear you talk like this.
I'll tell Uncle. He'll just have to buckle down and loaf somewhere else. I'm sorry, Uncle Rupert, but that's the way it's got to be.
Melvin, my boy, I'm hurt. Haven't Zookie and I been everything to you?
Well, not exactly.
I haven't been everything to you?
No. That's why I want to get married. You can't even cook.
Well, anyway, my lad, let's not be hasty. I've got another idea. Why don't I go on living here and work for you?
Oh, but Uncle Rupert, I can't afford to pay you anything.
Oh, that's all right, nephew. After a while, you'll owe me so much money, I'll own the fix-it shop.
Well, yeah,
and then
but...
you can go to work for me until you earn enough money to get it back.
Say, both of us can make a darn good living like that for years. Now, wait.
Doesn't hit you, eh?
No. Uncle Rupert, you're not talking me out of this.
I see what you mean. Well, Melvin, if this means the parting of the ways, I shall simply have to ask Widow Longnecker to marry me.
Oh, but you said yourself marriage is a serious thing. Are you sure Mrs. Longnecker's your type?
Why, of course Clara is my type. She's rich, isn't she?
Yeah, but you should marry for love.
Well, I love money.
But she's so long and lanky.
Melvin, my lad, when a lady is that wealthy, she's not long and lanky. She's tall and stately.
Well, have it your way. Now, will you send Zuki for those birthday cards?
Indeed, I will. Oh, Zuki. Zuki, will you come here, please?
Well, I can't. I'm too busy.
Here I am.
Mel wants you to go down to City Hall and get a list of people's birthdays.
Oh, people's... Yeah.
Then stop off on your way back and pick up some birthday cards in the 5 and 10.
Yeah.
Have you got that straight now?
Yeah. Hey, I'm looking for the
Young man. This is the Bureau of Vital Statistics.
Yeah, I know.
Oh. We have records on everybody from the cradle to the grave. Records on men, records on women. Also Spike Jones playing the gypsy. What can I do for you?
Well, I'm looking for the rockabye. Hey, I bet you was a beautiful baby.
Oh, yes, indeed I was. Why, my mother used to... Oh, so that's it. You're expecting a baby.
Oh, how could I have a baby? I'm not even married.
Well, you should have thought of that before. Marriage licenses are down the hall.
But I'm a confirmed bachelor. I don't believe in the... I'm foot loose and fancy for the... Nobody wants me.
Now, make up your mind what you want. Our files are complete from the cradle to the grave. We have the cross-index to ZY, counter-cross to AAL, and criss-cross to YYZ, ending with the fiscal year MCM XLV. Now, what do you have?
Let me hear Spike Jones playing the gypsy.
I give up. Look, here's a list of everything we've got. You can take your pick.
Oh, thanks. Gosh. this printing is sure close to the paper.
Is that you, Zuki? It's about time you... Oh, it's you, Mrs. Longnecker. How are you today?
Oh, me. Another day, another dividend. Oh, the woes of wealth.
Well, what's the matter, Mrs. Longnecker?
Oh, it's so annoying. I was at the bank all day today.
You were?
Yes. The bank wants to borrow some money from me. But I'm not going to give it to them.
Why not?
They haven't paid the last loan I made them. They don't pay me that soon. I'll just have to foreclose. I get more darn banks that way. Oh, money, money, money. Think of it, Melvin. I'm just swimming in wealth.
What a beautiful way to drown. Oh, by the way, Mrs. Longnecker.
Yes?
Were you born this month?
Was I what?
Were you born this month?
Oh, of course. I'm just out doing a little shopping for my mother, who's still in the hospital.
Well, you see, I'm sending birthday cards from the fix-it shop to everybody in town who has a birthday this month.
Well, what on earth for?
Oh, it's a great business idea. Make a lot of money, so Betty will be proud of me.
Money. Doesn't that fiancé of yours realize the terrible things money can do to a human being? Why, just look at me.
Yeah, maybe I ought to warn her. Do you think that I...
Oh, my dear Clara, this is indeed a pleasure.
Well, I didn't come here to give you pleasure. What do you want, Rupert?
I wish I could tell you how radiant you are, my dear. How like a tall, stately slapling... sapling. sapling in the breeze. Yes, I wish I could tell you, but I don't have the words.
Well, considering you did it without words, it was okay.
Please, Rupert, I'm in no mood for your nincompoopity.
Nincompoopity?
Oh, Melvin, I've quite forgotten what I came in for. I'm giving a reception tonight at the mansion, and I want you to come up and fix a loose floorboard on the front porch.
A loose floorboard?
Yes. Every time somebody walks into the house, the board comes up and slaps them in the face.
Gee, that's embarrassing.
It's even more embarrassing when they walk out. Bye.
Goodbye, Mrs. Longnecker. Well, Betty, all the birthday cards are mailed out.
Oh, Mel, I can't wait to see what happens.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if someday I have to use a velvet rope to handle the crowds in front of the fix-it shop.
Yes, honey.
Why, the fix-it shop will become a household word. You know, like Drano.
Yes, Johnny. Can I see one of the cards?
Oh, sure. Here.
Oh, they're pretty. Let's see, it says, best wishes on this most joyous of all occasions, your very own natal day.
Yeah, natal day. That means birthday. I looked it up.
Now, wait a minute. What's this?
What's what?
Behind this little flap on the card. Look what it says.
Oh, I didn't notice any flap.
It says, I hope the gift I'm sending you under separate cover will brighten this most joyous of all occasions, your very own natal day.
That means birthday. I...
Oh, Mel, what did you do?
I looked it up.
Don't you realize what this means?
Oh, yeah. It means I've got to get 98 birthday presents for all the people I sent cards to. Oh, if I don't, they'll never come near the fix-it shop.
And you were going to keep the crowds back, with a velvet rope, no less.
Well, I can still find use for the velvet rope.
For what, for instance?
Well, not everybody can afford to hang himself with a velvet rope.
Come here, please.
Yeah, okay. Don't take a chance with your romance.
Oh, Mel, I wish I could think of some way to help you.
Gosh, Betty, what am I going to do for presents for those people? I've thought of everything.
Well, it's no use worrying about it now. I guess something like this could happen to anybody.
Yeah, but it always happens to me.
Oh, Mel.
Betty, you know you're the only girl in the world for me, don't you?
Am I?
You're the only girl who'll have me. And you're so pretty, too. You know, every morning I think of you while I'm shaving.
I'm glad.
Sure. I look in the mirror and I say to myself, gosh, you're beautiful.
Oh, man.
Oh, well, you know what I mean. You're so sweet, and I'm such a worthless, brainless, shiftless, stupid... Gee, aren't you going to interrupt me?
Oh, don't worry, darling. Everything will be all right. The world always has an opening for someone like you. You just have to find it.
What do you mean, find an opening? Look at the hole I'm in now.
Melvin, my lad, your troubles are over.
What do you mean, Uncle Rupert?
In this big package, you see 100 beautiful boxes of candy. They'll make 100 most appropriate birthday presents for the people you sent the birthday cards to.
Hey, that's swell, but where did you get them?
It so happens I ran across a dear old friend today, one Harry Greenspiegel, who now owns the Ace Novelty Company.
Yeah?
Ah, good old Greenspiegel. Used to be a fellow vendor in a burlicue house in Hoboken.
Uncle Rupert. I never knew you sold things in the burlesque house.
purely educational. Photographic knowledge for gentlemen who never went to college. Postcards, to be exact.
Postcards?
Ooh la la!
Uncle Rupert.
Inspirational views of the Eiffel Tower. Well, let's get these boxes in the mail.
Say, I'll be doing better than the life insurance company. They only sent out birthday cards to customers.
The cheapskates.
Yeah, I'll be sending bonbons by Greenspiegel de Paris. I guess this will show people in this town this isn't a melon I have for a head.
That's right, Melvin. You've got brains in that melon.
Uncle Rupert, it was nice of you to get that candy for Mel.
You know me, Betty. Unselfish to a fault.
Yes. Well, anyway, I don't understand it. We mailed that candy out 2 days ago, and we haven't received one thank you note. Not even a phone call. Oh, look, here comes Mrs. Longnecker.
Ah, maybe this is my chance to win her hand. The one that signs the checks. I have just one box of candy left. I'll try it on her and see how she likes it.
Well, good luck to you. I'll leave you two alone.
Ah, Clara, my dear.
Hello, Rupert.
So glad you dropped in.
Now, Rupert, I'm in no mood for your nincompoopity.
But, Clara, I have a beautiful gift for you.
A gift for me? Oh, how nice, Rupert.
Yes, a box of French bonbons, direct from Paris, made by my very good friend, Monsieur Greenspiegel.
Done it.
Oh, it's quite all right. A gift for the fairest of the fair. They come to you untouched by human hands. Greenspiegel wrapped them himself.
Well, I must open them immediately and try one.
Try one of the peanut clusters.
Oh, but these are not peanut clusters. These are ordinary peanuts.
If I'd known you were coming, my dear, I'd have clustered them myself.
Yes. Well, no, I think I'll try one of these caramels.
Mmm! Delicious, aren't they, my dear?
Mmm!
Stop jumping up and down, Clara! What the devil's the matter with her?
Hey, Uncle Rupert, what happened to Mrs. Longnecker?
Maybe she hasn't learned how to use her new upper plate.
Learn? What does she do, take lessons? Hey, what happened anyway?
Hold on. What's this inside the candy box?
What? Oh, Ace Novelty Company's number one joker. Be the life of the party. Treat your friends to Sure Pucker Alum Candy.
Oh, no.
Oh, 50 mirthquakes to a box. Laugh yourself to death.
There's been some mistake, nephew.
Oh, some mistake is right. I can just see 98 people chasing me down the street, all of them yelling, Kill Bill Blank! Kill Bill Blank!
Melvin, take it easy, take it easy. What are you doing?
Can't you see? I'm laughing myself to death. Laughing! Gosh, I feel awful. Gosh, if only one of those people we sent the candy to would say something. If they'd only do something, why don't they?
It takes a little time to consult a lawyer, my lad.
A lawyer? Gee, I bet they could send me to the state penitentiary for doing this to people.
They can't send you to a state penitentiary, Melvin.
Of course they can.
Using the mails to defraud is a federal offense.
State penitentiary and federal prison. You know what I'll have pinned on me? A two-way stretch.
Mel, now don't be silly.
Hey, the mailman is coming. Oh, he's got loads of mail. Hey, you better leave by the back door, Mel.
Yes, nephew, run for the hills.
No, Uncle Rupert. I'm going to face the music.
Well. Quite a bit of mail for you today, Mr. Blank.
Wait. All those boxes. It's the candy we sent out.
And those are all the birthday cards.
Here, let me see. Hey, Hey, they all read the same way. Listen. Return to sender. Addressee deceased.
That means dead. I looked it up.
Huh?
Say, Mel, I think I know what happened.
Well, I wish you'd tell me.
Don't you see? Zuki got the wrong list down at City Hall. Instead of birthdays, he got the names of people who passed away.
Oh. Then I'm safe. Nothing happened.
That's right, and you can thank Zuki for that.
Gosh, yeah. Gee, you saved my life, Zuki. I could kiss you.
Hey, you can't kiss me. Don't you dare to kiss. Don't you kiss. He did.
Well, we'll be back in the Fix-It shop in just a minute for a Zookieism. What's a Zookieism? Wait and see.
Well, Zookie, we had quite an experience with those birthday cards. You know, Zookie, I like to feel that you learned something from it.
Yes, Zookie, everything has a moral. Just what did you learn?
Well, to tell you the truth, I've learned that anything worth doing is worth. Well, you must keep your nose to the grindstone. You gotta keep your nose to the grindstone. I've learned that. It sure pays to be ignorant.
Easton reminding you that Colgate tooth powder, for a breath that's sweet and teeth that sparkle, brings you the Mel Blanc Show every Tuesday at the same time. Be sure to join us again next Tuesday night for more fun with Mel and the people you'll meet in Mel Blanc's Fix-It Shop. The Mel Blanc Show was written by David Victor and Herb Little Jr. and was produced and directed by Joe Ryan.
The Mel Blanc Show on Tuned to Yesterday, the premier broadcast of the relatively short-lived series from September 3, 1946. The program would fold on June 24, 1947 on CBS. Mel Blanc, of course, the heralded voice actor of the Looney Tunes cartoons, also a key player on the Jack Benny program from about that time through its end in 1955. You're listening to an hour of old-time radio sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And now one of these singers synonymous with the Jack Benny program, the first being Kenny Baker, the second being Dennis Day, now in his first spin-off show, one of the earlier broadcasts from the series on NBC, from March 19, 1947.
Ladies and gentlemen, Colgate Dental Cream presents The Dennis Day Show, written by Frank Galen, with Paula Winslow, Dink Trout, John Brown, Charles Dent in the orchestra, yours truly, Vern Smith, and starring our popular young singer in A Day in the Life of Dennis Day.
Twice a day and before every date, use Colgate Dental Cream to clean your breath while you clean your teeth. Here's Dennis Day to sing My Pretty Girl.
My pretty girl, my pretty girl, I'm always dreaming of you. My pretty girl, my pretty girl, my darling, how I love you. Promise me you will never leave me. Promise me you will never grieve me. Promise me you will not deceive me. Oh, my pretty girl, please give me just one kiss. One sweet kiss you won't miss. For your kiss brings such bliss to my lonely heart. My pretty girl, I'm always dreaming of you. My pretty girl, my darling, how I love you. Promise me you will never leave me. Promise me you will never grieve me. Promise me you will not deceive me. Oh, my pretty girl.
Okay, now, grab your purses. Here we go. Center and around outside and balance on your corner. Oh, swing that pretty little girl and promenade the one that's left behind you.
Dance with me through the night. Let my arms hold you tight. And with dawn's early light, let me take you home. Oh, my pretty girl, I'm always dreaming of you. My pretty girl, my darling, how I love you. Promise me you will never leave me. Promise me you will never grieve me. Promise me you will not deceive me. Oh, my pretty girl, promise me you will love me ever. Promise me you will leave me never. Promise me we'll remain together. Oh, my pretty girl. Oh, my pretty girl. Yahoo!
Colgate Dental Cream cleans your breath while it cleans your teeth. No other toothpaste does a better job of cleaning your teeth than Colgate Dental Cream. For Colgate Dental Cream has a safe polishing agent that cleans your teeth both gently and thoroughly, brings out their natural sparkle and beauty.
And scientific tests prove that Colgate Dental Cream cleans your breath while it cleans your teeth to bring out the natural sparkle and beauty of your teeth for a wake-up flavor you'll thoroughly enjoy.
Use Colgate Dental Cream twice a day and before every date to clean your breath while you clean your teeth.
Well, as you know, our young hero, Dennis Day, rooms at the Anderson Boarding House in Weaverville. And as you also know, it isn't very often that we find his landlady, Mrs. Anderson, in a very affectionate or loving mood. But this is one of those rare occasions. For you see, the Andersons are to celebrate their 22nd wedding anniversary this week. And now, as Mrs. Anderson discusses the tender event with her spouse, the love light fairly beams from her eyes.
Herbert.
Yes, Bunny Fluff.
I do want to give you something nice for our anniversary. A gift that would make you really happy. Is there something you've been longing to have?
Oh, mercy, no. No, you're the only gift I'd ever ask of life, Lotus Face.
Oh, but there must be some little present you'd like to have, Herbert.
Well, there is something I've always wanted, but I'm afraid it would be awfully expensive.
What, dear?
An electric dishwasher.
I'm afraid that would be a little expensive, Herbert. You better think of something cheaper.
Well, I'll try, little dumpling.
Well, the Andersons' impending anniversary is a problem not only to the Andersons, but to our young hero, Dennis, as well. And we find him now at Willoughby's drugstore trying to solve it in his own peculiar way.
Mr. Willoughby.
Yes, Dennis.
You know something? You look to me like the type of fellow who's a real good sport.
Well, thank you, Dennis.
I'll bet when an attractive young brunette asks you for something, you just can't say no, can you?
I guess that's true, my boy.
Fine. Can I have an advance on my salary?
Dennis, your shape is somewhat different from the attractive brunette I had in mind.
Yeah, I was afraid you'd notice it, but I need the money.
Dennis, don't you realize that you're asking for money you haven't earned yet? Why, that's practically like stealing.
It is?
Certainly. If I gave it to you, I'd be starting you on the road to corruption. Now, what's it to be for you, my boy? Corruption or integrity?
Could I have about $6 worth of corruption, please?
No, son. I feel I must watch out for your best interests.
But it's terribly important, Mr. Willoughby. This week is the Andersons' anniversary, and I want to buy them a present.
Well, I'm sure they'd appreciate a beautiful anniversary card every bit as much. We carry some lovely ones. And since you're working here, I'll let you have them for cost. Plus only my profit.
But, sir, I really feel I should give them a gift. You see, Mildred is spending $10 on the picture frame she's giving them, and I think
I
ought to spend it...
A picture frame? Why not give them your picture to put in it?
Oh, I don't think Mrs. Anderson would care for my picture around the house, Mr. Willoughby. It might look just like me.
Dennis, if Mrs. Anderson doesn't like you, it's because she doesn't really know you. Give her a charming photograph of yourself so she can get familiar with the real you.
But I'm afraid familiarity would just breed some more of what she's got for me now.
Nonsense. Now, my wife's brother has just opened a photographic studio over on Maple Street. Perhaps if you helped him out around the place, he'd take a portrait of you in exchange for your services.
You mean I work off the price of the picture?
Sure, in your spare time from your job here.
Boy, that's a swell idea, Mr. Willoughby. I'll go over and tell him I'm free any morning before 7 a.m. or any afternoon after 10 p.m.
You're going to work for him in your spare time in return for having your picture taken?
That's right, Mildred. I start tonight.
But I should think he'd want to hire an expert on photography.
Well, I kind of let him think I was. But don't worry, Mildred. I'll be a big help to him. I have been already.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, while he was busy, I found a room in the back he'd forgotten to put a light in, so I put in a nice bright one and turned it on.
Dennis, that's the developing room. It's supposed to be dark.
Oh, gee, I hope he doesn't find out I did it. He'll fire me, and I'll never get that picture of myself for your mother.
Yes, I know. Mr. Willoughby really thinks Mother will fall in love with your picture, huh?
Uh-huh. I figured 10 minutes after she got it, she'd draw a mustache on it, but he says no.
Golly, I sure hope he's right.
Well, she'll have to have it around for a little while anyway, because there's no other picture she can put in that frame you're giving her.
Yes, that's where we're lucky.
Yeah.
Good morning, children.
Oh, good morning, Daddy.
Morning, Mr. Anderson. Well, the big day will be arriving pretty soon now, huh?
Yes. 22 years ago this Friday, my wife and I met at the altar. Poopsie, the triumphant bride, and I, the blushing groom.
Gee, 22 years. Have you been happy all that time, Mr. Anderson?
Oh, happiness isn't the word for it, Dennis.
No, sir, I didn't think it was.
Daddy means he's been extremely happy, Dennis.
Oh, indeed I have been. Two people can be gloriously happy once they decide that marriage is a matter of give and take. And which of them's going to do what?
I guess so.
Have you decided on an anniversary present for Mother yet, Daddy?
You bet I have. Oh, and will she be thrilled. I'll tell you what it is if you promise to keep it a secret.
You bet.
Well, I've decided to give her a picture of myself.
Oh, no.
Huh?
Mr. Anderson, let's not be hasty. There must be thousands of things she'd like better than your picture.
Yes, Daddy. Why not give her something practical?
Or attractive.
Now, see here.
Why not give her some dainty little underthing that women wear under their dresses like a money belt?
Dennis, Dave!
I'll bet Mother would just love a nice nail set.
That's it, with a hammer to match.
But Poopsie wants my picture. She's always said that I'd look lovely over the mantelpiece.
Well, maybe she's mistaken. Climb up there and let's find out.
I'll do nothing of the kind. And just remember now, you promised to keep this a secret. Goodbye.
Gosh, what are we going to do now, Mildred? If he gives her his picture, she'll never put mine in your frame.
Well, she still might, Dennis. Maybe she won't like the picture of Daddy. Mother's convinced that no one in the family takes a good picture but herself.
Yeah, but I'm...
Oh, Mildred, has your father gone out yet?
Oh, he just left, Mother.
Oh, good. I didn't want him to hear this. Do you know what I'm going to give him for our anniversary? Oh, I'll bet you love the idea as much as I do.
What, Mother?
My picture.
You lose.
Mother, are you sure that's the right present for Dad?
What?
Yeah, why give him your picture? Slip him a half a buck and let him get something he'll enjoy.
Whether you two like it or not, Herbert is getting my picture for his anniversary present, and that's that.
Boy, I'm glad you're not a dominating woman like your mother, Mildred. Well, I guess I better forget about having my picture taken, huh?
You'll do nothing of the kind. Didn't Mr. Willoughby say that your picture would make Mother love you?
Yes, but...
You're going to that studio tonight.
Yes, but...
And you're going to have your picture taken.
Yes, but...
And you're not coming back here without it. Understand?
Yes, Poopsie.
Hello, Mr. Kendall. Well, here I am, ready to go to work.
Oh, yes, Mr. Day. I've been wanting to ask you something about my dark room. Were you by any chance the one who...
Me? Oh, no, sir, not me. Why, I know better than to...
Well, go on.
It'll sound better if you ask the question first.
You know what happened yesterday? When I finished taking pictures of that lovely young model, Miss Latour, we went into the dark room together and found a light on.
So nothing developed, huh?
I'm not sure I know what you mean.
Me either.
Oh, well, I suppose it's ridiculous to think you did such a thing. After all, as you told me yesterday, you've studied photography all your life.
Oh, sure. Know it backwards and forwards. Gee, you've certainly got some swell equipment around here.
Yes, we try to keep up with the times.
What's this thing right here?
It's called a camera.
Oh, comes in very handy every now and then, I guess.
Yes. Well, shall we get to work? I want you to carry my plates inside for me.
Your plates?
Yes.
Boy, you got a good job there. I could have sworn they were your own.
Today, I'm referring to photographic plates.
Oh.
You've heard of them, having studied photography all of your life?
Oh, sure, sure.
We're going to put them in the bath.
Yeah, nothing like clean plates, I always say.
You may stop saying it any time you choose.
Yes, sir.
Naturally, the developing bath must be tested before the plates go in. You realize that?
Oh, don't worry. I'll stick my big toe in first.
Mr. Day, I fear we were not meant for each other. Goodbye. It's been frightening to have met you.
Wait, please, Mr. Kendall. I've just got to get a picture of myself to give to my girl's folks. Don't fire me.
I'm sorry, my boy, but I've just opened up here. You should try someone who's ready to close down.
But I could get you lots of customers, Mr. Kendall. You're just starting, and I know everyone in town.
Do you by any chance know Mrs. Courtney?
The banker's wife? Oh, sure.
Well, if I could get her to pose for a portrait, I'd just about be made around here. Get her for me, and you can have your picture.
Gosh, I'll bet I can. I'll pretend to be a famous foreign photographer from Italy or someplace. Mrs. Courtney is always very much impressed with foreigners.
Fine. Pretend you're a foreigner, Mr. Day. And may I just say in parting that I sincerely believe it's America's loss that you're only pretending.
Gee, thanks. I think.
Yes?
Ah, Signora Courtney, it makes it for you a great pleasure to meet me, is it?
Why, who are you, my good man?
I am Signor Totoni, the greatest photographer in all Italy.
Oh, really? Whom have you photographed?
Why, I'm a snap of the king himself, a Natch.
Victor Emmanuel?
Oh, sure, both of those fellas, too.
I don't understand.
I'm a snap all of the crown heads of Europe, lady. The King of England, the King of Greece, the King of France, the King of...
The King of France?
Machou!
Why, the last King of France has been dead for over 100 years.
How do you like that? And he said it was my fault he no look good in a pitch.
See, Signor Tortoni, you're joking with me.
Is it nice of you feel it that way?
Tell me, do you come from the north of Italy, Signor, or down south near Sicily?
Down south near Sicily. Of course, Sicily move up north when she get married.
No. The Sicily I'm referring to is down at the toe of the Italian boot.
Well, the one I'm talk about to get the kicked around a plenty, too.
Humor is divine.
Well, I hate to think where I'd be without yours.
Oh, you're a Italians. I just love Italy. It's such a beautiful country.
That's nice. So now we get down to business, huh?
Remember the ruins of the Colosseum in
the water. Well, we get down to business. Mr. Courtney, I would like to take your picture.
My picture? Oh, how flattering.
Oh, I'm no flatter you. You're very pretty, Mr. Courtney. Oh. I'll bet you there's no other sight like you on earth, except maybe the Alps.
Why, you darling boy, I'd love you to take my picture.
That's a fine. Here's the card. You come to this address. So, goodbye.
Arrivederci, signor.
Beg your pardon?
I said, arrivederci, signor.
Oh, $10 a dozen. Well, goodbye.
Yes?
How do you do? I'm Mrs. Courtney. I have an appointment for a sitting.
Mrs. Courtney, you did come. Well, sit right down. I'll be with you immediately.
You'll be with me? Young man, I'll have no assistants taking my picture. I want the great Signor Tortoni himself.
You mean... Mrs. Courtney, you'd be making a big mistake, really.
See here. I know what I'm doing.
This I will lay 8-5 against.
Go fetch the Signor at once.
Yes, Mrs. Courtney, of course. Day, put on that smock. I'm bringing Mrs. Courtney in, and you're going to take her picture.
Me? But gosh, you know I don't know anything about...
You'll have to do the best you can. I'm not going to lose her.
But, Mr. Kendall, look, I'm...
Right this way, Mrs. Courtney.
There you are, dear Signor Tortoni. Your assistant wanted to take my picture, but, of course, I demanded you. You know, I feel you'll do something really unusual with me.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Well, I'll do the best I can.
See that you do. I'll be back later.
Now, how would you like me to pose, Signor?
Well, let's see. What's a good popular pose? How about lying on your stomach on a white fur rug?
Signor Tortoni. If you don't mind, we'll just have a nice, dignified picture with me sitting in this chair.
Okay. Hold it still now. I get under the camera. Ooh.
Why, what's the matter?
It's dark in here. Well, we go ahead with the picture. I think we got... Mrs. Courtney, please, no tricks.
What?
You're asking me for the dignified picture. Then the minute I look at you in the camera, you're sitting on your head. Son of God.
You always see things upside down in a camera.
Oh, really? What do you know from this? Well, we go back to work in one more minute. We
nearly finished in here. There's a Mrs. Anderson here, and she wants to have
Mrs.
her...
Mrs. Anderson, quick, Mr. Courtney, you step in a dark room for just a few minutes, huh, please?
The dark room? Why, what on earth?
Before I can take your picture, you've got to be a little more developed.
Developed? Why... Since when is the subject developed instead of the picture?
We're starting a whole new system. Into the dark room, please. Ooh. Quick!
Have you gone mad, Day?
Shh, Mrs. Anderson is my landlady. If she sees me, the jig is up with Mrs. Courtney. I'll get back under the camera. You get her in here, and we'll get rid of her fast.
Okay. Right in here, Mrs. Anderson.
All right. Where do you wish me to sit?
You find her right there. Steady. I take the picture. You see the birdie? No? I take anyway. Okay, next.
My goodness, I didn't even have time to put on my makeup.
The way I take the picture, makeup is to do you no good at all. Goodbye.
Come along, Mrs. Anderson.
Well, I must say this is very unusual.
You can come out now, Mr. Courtney.
Well, really, Signor Tortoni, this is fantastic. I'm beginning to think you don't know any more about photography than a soda jerk.
Please, let's not complicate things with the good guesses. Sit right down now. I take the picture. That's a fire. Now hold it. Now we get him a...
I have another customer, Signor. A Mr. Anderson.
Mrs. Courtney, I have just noticed something. You are developed fine here and there, but there and here, you no look so good. You go back in the dark room. 2 more minutes, huh?
Signor, this is absolutely ridiculous. It's...
Please, you don't want to underdevelop a picture. In with you.
Right this way, Mr. Anderson.
Yes. Shall I sit down right...
Hold it still. Fine. Goodbye.
You mean it's all over?
My sure.
But I wasn't even smiling.
So what? You got a very little to be happy about. Come on.
My goodness, this certainly is the age of speed.
Quick, let her out again.
Now, see here, this is preposterous. It's completely unnecessary, and you know it.
But it was necessary, Mrs. Courtney. Honest, it was.
Signor Tortoni, what happened to your accent?
Is it too late to put him back on, huh?
Much too late.
Summon a gun.
Happy anniversary, Mother. Happy anniversary, Daddy. And here's a present for you both.
Oh, a picture frame. How nice, Mildred.
Yes, thank you, dear. I wish we had a picture of someone to put in it.
Yeah, I do, too.
To tell the truth, Pupsy, I did want to give you my picture today. I even had one taken, but, well, here, look how it turned out.
Why, is this you, Herbert? Hmm? Where's your face? And your legs.
All they got was my stomach.
Gee, sort of a pot shot, huh?
Well, I have a confession, too, Herbert. I also had my picture taken. Here, look at it.
My goodness, they missed you entirely.
Yes. How could a photographer be so stupid? There was something about that man's voice, too. It was so familiar.
Well, I think I'll go to bed.
Dennis?
Yes, ma'am?
Let me hear you say, watch the birdie, but say it with an Italian accent.
Okay. Sure now, Faith and Megara, will you be looking at the birdie there, Megara?
Do you call that an Italian accent?
It's as close as I care to get. Well, good night, everybody.
Dennis Day will be back in just a moment with a song. But first, here's a fact worth knowing. Colgate Dental Cream cleans your breath while it cleans your teeth. And that's important, as our Colgate players are going to demonstrate. Tonight, as the Colgate curtain goes up, we find two pretty young girls deep in one of those heart-to-heart talks about men.
It's weird, that's what it is. Jim had me thinking he was definitely serious, and then he just suddenly began to act funny. Well, you're his sister. Has he said anything to you about me or anything I could have done?
Well, Jim's really in a tough spot, Judy. Yes, he has given me some idea of what's wrong. So I guess maybe it's sort of my job to set you straight. But do I ever dread it?
Dread what? What are you talking about?
I'm talking about you and a darn ticklish subject, Judy. Look, honey, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but you need your dentist to guide you, Judy.
And here's what Judy found out.
Scientific tests have proved that in 7 out of 10 cases, Colgate Dental Cream instantly stops unpleasing breath that originates in the mouth. What's more, Colgate Dental Cream's safe polishing agent brings out the natural sparkle of your teeth, cleans them thoroughly and safely.
Yes, Colgate Dental Cream cleans your breath while it cleans your teeth.
And Colgate Dental Cream is famous for its wonderful wake-up flavor, too. In fact, nationwide tests of leading toothpaste prove that Colgate Dental Cream is preferred for flavor over other brands tested.
So, to clean your teeth thoroughly and safely, for a wake-up flavor everyone enjoys, use Colgate Dental Cream. Remember, Colgate Dental Cream cleans your breath while it cleans your teeth.
Here's Dennis with Charles Dant and the orchestra, and the beautiful arrangement of Heartache,
my loving you meant only heartache. Your kiss was such a sacred thing.
Reminding you that Dennis Day can be heard with Jack Benny every Sunday, and be sure to be with us again next week for another Dennis Day program. More songs, more adventures in the life of our star, Dennis Day. Meanwhile, be sure to use Colgate Dental Cream to clean your breath while you clean your teeth.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
A Day in the Life of Dennis Day on Tuned to Yesterday from March 19, 1947 on NBC. And that wraps up this hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden age. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVeillonier. It's been a pleasure.